I have been informed that there are massive plans afoot to liquidate, assassinate Louis Farrakhan before or on the day that he speaks to the United Nations. That's the 16th of this month. I will go on record that if you touch him, you are in intergalactic war. And I declare it now. You're going to end up surprised at from whence comes your freedom. We watched a rerun of a tape at the Million Man March. Farrakhan will be, if you never ever even meet the man, you are going to have to understand that he will be one of your most intimate associates. If we can arrange it, you probably never will meet, because it becomes so seriously dangerous. But some of those things that they thought they'd pull on Farrakhan, like Libya, you know, not let him take a humanitarian award, for goodness sakes, and then block him from getting any money because Gaddafi wanted to give it to him, and yet it's all right to go bomb Gaddafi's home and kill his child. I did not make that child cry. We have a Canadian friend who has sent a couple of tapes. You know, they weren't going to let Farrakhan into Canada. This free border, all that free border stuff, you know. I mean, he is such an anti-Semite, they were not going to let him into Canada. Well, we had a friend who went to the lecture when he finally got up there, and he said it was so remarkable, and he has taped it. And I want to share that this afternoon. Dorma must hear it. You need to hear it. And then if anybody is willing to broadcast his speech from the UN on the 16th, do it. This is a blessed man. Does that mean that he is a perfect man? No. But he has come back, just like the rest of you, into imperfection, from perfection, to carry a massive, massive burden. And you see, he has a much harder task than do you. He seems like an Islamic leader. I am of the nation of Islam. What in the soup does that mean? Well, it means sort of a mixed religion, if you will, of Muhammad and his teachings. So that's part Muslim, and in the black regions that's called Muslim, integrated with Christ ideals. And yet when you read, what does being a Muslim mean in the United States? And the speakers lay down their list, well, it's black supremacy is what it becomes. It's stated like equality, but literally a movement to separate blacks further into segregated communities at your expense, because after all, you white people did enslave them. And I have very mixed feelings about this, because the sins of the father are rested on the children. But does a furtherance of imbalance ever come into balance? No. And if you are going to protect your welfare system by putting people on a different type of welfare because, well, after all, you enslaved us, so we will take money from you now and we will set this up. And, of course, I am exaggerating, but Nora can attest to this because she had some of the papers that in each edition of this particular paper, there is a full page of what they want as Muslims. You can't find balance out of imbalance. You cannot get equality out of producing more inequality. And yet, opportunity has not been allowed these people to have any other different opinion than an extreme. You see, only extremes pull. If the largest number of children or families on welfare are black, and the most unwed mothers on welfare are black, and the average number of children are 3 to each unwed mother on welfare, these children are having babies before they are really out of their side rail beds. They're starting to have babies at 11, 12, and now the little children want to have babies. Get this one. You've gone far enough in your societal structure for these little kids to think that's a good idea. At any rate, these are unqualified for any kind of a job save the most, when I say mundane, I don't mean to lower the category of the job, but that requires the least training. And isn't it interesting that the jobs that require the least training, you know, the ones who clean the hospital, the one who cleans the kitchen, the ones who hold in their hands your very lives are the least paid. They've got to just scrape along. That is injustice. That is inequality. That is not even dignity, because these are the ones that hold your lives in their hands as far as disease is concerned. The clerk who keeps your records, businessman, is the most important person in your business other than the one who knows how to do the product. So there's going to be more equality in our businesses. Just because you get 6 PhDs and you like black socks crossed on your desk doesn't make you worth a flipping dime. So we're going to have some different structuring. And it's going to be hard to put all that together while we are also trying to do 100,000 other things. So it's going to be important that we as a nucleus have learned our lessons and are willing to just keep at it and keep at it and keep adding and stretch ourselves. What is going to happen when they shut her down? And that's what they're doing. Every day, every bill the president signs, they make sounds so great. Only 1 year of assistance for immigrants legally here. No assistance for unlawful immigrants. Shall we vote in suicide? We will still allow partial birth murder of infants called mother's choice, while if you abandon or the baby is hurt the day after it's born, you are a murderer. But if it's still in the womb and you kill it on its way out, that's called partial birth abortion, and that's okay. It's insane. And when you have these little mothers with zip training, and you already have a beginning of a slowdown of the businesses which allow them jobs, and I'm talking about your restaurants, your tourist attractions when men don't have jobs to feed the family. You don't go touring. And you don't eat out every night when you can't get food for the restaurants to cook it. Or the price of the food increases so much and the price of the help increases so much that those businesses have to go out of business. You are going to have the most massive depression this world has ever known. At that point, what do you do with these babies that you've been feeding on welfare? Well, you're going to play right into the hands of the government there, because they will take those babies away from those mothers that cannot feed them. And they will make them wards of the state. And they will put them in state institutions, and you're going to have robots. And there is going to be mass death from disease. So it's going to happen. When you are able to turn it around, you have to be able to have it so bad out there that when you turn around and offer a better way, those little sprouts come up through the middle. And man will see that it is a better way. But of course, the major elite plan is to not allow that to happen. There will be great cataclysms before they allow it just to evolve, because there are always the ones with their finger on the red button. And yet it doesn't have to be that way. And what you ones in America have to face is that you are the new Khazarian homeland. You are going to be the target of the Palestinians, the Iranians, all of the Muslim nations, Buddha. And you're going to sit, but we're Christian. No, you're not. You are Khazarian. You are, in Alan Dershowitz's own language, his mouth, his writings, the United States of America is the new Israel homeland. They never wanted Israel. They wanted the pipeline at the port of Haifa, and they want Jerusalem. Because to hold Jerusalem, they think they hold Christ. Well, I want to tell you, Jerusalem is just another dirty, grimy, scroungy, terrible city. And if you have to celebrate the death of a man to honor him, then you're sick. We celebrate life. And you can only have life in light. Take away the light and you have no life. And that's what hell is. The absence of God, who is light. And we don't need to go through all that symbolic garbage. Of, oh, well, the central sun, the one light, Aton, the sun symbol. It is the symbol of God because it is light. That's all. It is a symbol. Don't worship the idol. You don't even need to worship the entity. Revere, respect, and honor yourself enough to try to achieve that which is worthy. Because Creator does not expect perfection. He accepts whatever He can get from you. And unfortunately, it often is imperfection. But don't we become perfect at whatever it is we are? Wally is a perfect Wally. Can we not accept that? And then only Wally has to worry about becoming better. Once you are satisfied with whatever you are, I didn't say content and at peace. I said, weren't you just satisfied that you know it all? And you're big enough. And, hell, I'm worthy. So strike me with riches, Father. I did it. Worthy now. He will tell you, go create it, son. These are the more advanced lessons. And I, like you, would like to exist in the little groupies that hug trees. That's a nice place to be. Let's all hold hands and ring around the rosy tree. Let's honor this tree. Let's worship this tree. Let's kiss this tree. Let's hug this tree. Well, that tree is God in its most magnificent unfolding from a little acorn around these parts into these magnificent oaks. And this year is an abundant year of acorns. And then I like to go back to the old apple seed. You can count the seeds in an apple. You cannot count the trees. And you cannot count the number of apples that can be born from a tree. So God is in the tree. God is in the little lizard. But human was God's greatest creation. As far as an entity is concerned, don't consider yourself so abundantly smug that you consider man to be the greatest of God's creation. Because God created a universe, an orderly cosmic universe beyond any limitation. And you can't say which came before, the chicken or the egg. Which came first, the God creator of this wondrous universe, or the universe, the creation. And beyond that, you don't know. So these days, as this old tired commander has to try to establish diplomatic relationships, I've got to tread on the religious dogmas of your doctrines. And religions are of man. Doctrines are of man. The creation's laws are of Creator. And they rarely match. You can get by with Creator's laws in the first four. And then whammo, man establishes the rest of those doctrines. And they make them just enough different that you have to kill each other over being a Protestant versus a Catholic, and there is not one Protestant and not one Catholic, including the Pope, who can explain to you why. And if your church doctrine becomes your dogma, you cannot know God. Everybody hear me. You cannot know Creator and have dogmatic doctrines. It doesn't mean, however, that you can't work toward a better world and learn why you go. Money, for instance, is not evil, it is not good, it is not bad, and in the Federal Reserve System, it isn't even real. And yet you use it and you pay them interest on it, and if you don't have to borrow the money that is worthless and has no value and then pay for it, you go, oh, I earn it. It still says Federal Reserve note, and they get your taxes. So they've got you any which way. They are raking in money on something that didn't cost them more than 2 cents. So you've been fooled. You have become people of the lie. And it is absolutely imperative that you raise your head up enough to be flexible enough to hear this. And when you start condemning me for giving you truth and sounding a little hard, like, oh, God wouldn't sound like that. You don't know what God would sound like, but I do, and I'm nothing compared. Nothing. And he's got the patience of eternity, for goodness sake. You are the created. And he's going to bring you into perfection, and it hurts sometimes, doesn't it? And we hurt ourselves to spite him. And all you're doing is fighting self. Cheating self. He doesn't care. He has as many endless cycles forever for you and me to learn. And occasionally we have an opportunity to be given the privilege of being included in some magnificent mission. At a time of evolvement in a thought form now coalesced, headed for catastrophe. I don't like catastrophes, and I am given myself into believing that we can most certainly avoid the total destruction. More than that, I believe that together we can bring back an evolvement into better perception, at which point there will be an automatic evolvement of intelligence, life again. Because once you start teaching your children properly and the truth again, you'll just roll on. And then, yes, indeed, in every physical environment will come the integration again of greed and evil, and thus and so every species must go through many of these evolutionary changes. But you don't end up looking like monsters, and you don't end up looking like lizards. That's of man. Manufacture. If you are in the image of God, you are light. That is soul. And it is light. And the reason that the areas of earthbound spirits is gray is because if you have not come high enough into the light, you are going to have a tinge of gray. But when you meet the hosts, they're going to be light beings. And they're going to manifest in every color, just like you. Because color has nothing to do with anything. You say, well, DNA origin, possibly. But I'm only interested in your DNA soul. And don't give me the rest of your sad story, because these are things you chose to experience in whatever form to be the most beneficial for whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. And it's going to make the white people really ticked off to realize that the greatest of the race is coming here. We're both so white that they look pasty sick and dark. There's seven races, and only basically three of them do you even know about, and you're at war with each other as it is. And one of those seven are the etheric beings called the hosts, your immediate ancestors. So I don't care what your science program tells you. It has absolutely no interest to me what you wish to believe about little gray aliens, etc., etc., etc. There is whatever you choose to have. And if you choose to be terrified of the hosts of God and watch the holograms and watch a TV, you just do that. And this is what really bogs everybody down who comes into opposition with us. Well, you're a cult. How can we be a cult? We don't even ask you in unless you want to come in. Well, you have these far-out beliefs. Oh, be good, honest, honorable, that is a far-out belief. Well, but you claim God. Doesn't everybody claim God? Unless you claim there is no God, and then that appears to me to be totally stupid. You can't look around your world and not assume there's something higher than you are, because most of those ones who do not accept or proclaim there is no God are so narrow that you certainly wouldn't want a world put together by them, would you? Well, if God really loved us, your God, your nasty old God hat on, really loved us, he would make sure that we have what we need and we march. And we don't have to worry about falling off or falling in or anything. You're just going to take care of us, brother. Lift us up and rapture us, brother. And if I say, no, we're not going to do it that way, well, I can't handle that. Zoom, out the door. And then I'm going to get on the rest of your toes, because always there will be the flock that follows them. Don't be upset. Don't be upset. Be upset. Your world is falling apart. Your children are killing each other. You have reached the depths of the pit. In that downward spiral. Away from Creator light. And one can say, but this is still the blessed nation. This is the best nation around. In what way? Someone tell me in what way. I'd like to hear it. Because, you know, the facts are, I agree with it. You don't know what it was. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it can be. Because what it can be, it never was. Anybody who had to come into this nation and kill off your Indians to steal from them, not very nice. And maybe you deserve the next flow that came in of the elite. You haven't experienced freedom. You have experienced flag waving and a constitution that was written to protect you and never did, because you didn't use it. After the War of 1812, which was basically a very, very important war, if a war can only be important, it cannot be good. Ever since you proclaimed your freedom, but especially after the War of 1812, you have been absolutely running as hard as you can run to get back under the English flag, and you've done it. Only the English flag is a British Israeli flag. And Israel means man of war. God of war. Ezra. El. Elder. Warrior. The angel of death. And I don't mean D-E-A-D. I mean the angel of forever darkness. So go right ahead and be the chosen ones of Israel. And all you have actually said is that I belong to the angel of death, and my holiday is coming up on the 31st of this month. And yet that is never the meaning that was given to the children of Israel. but you better know it fit. And these ones came, and they called themselves the serpent people. Go read the 13th tribe. History has it written. This isn't something Commander sits and broadcasts to you through some dumb woman's mouth. Come on. It's in your history books. It's in the archives. They keep stuffing it down and stuffing it down and hiding it in the dungeons underneath the libraries. And then they mark it national security. Do you realize that little Kelly Cox sitting in that institution, they have all of her records marked national security? That baby is a national security risk? Well, she sure is, because the minute she gets a chance, she's going to tell the rest of the story that Kathy didn't get told. A child is a prisoner because of these evil, obscene minds that have grabbed control of your civilization. And if you think that I'm going to prefer to work with them that are recognized as your government, when I can work at least with ones who bow to the east and ask Allah to protect them, you are nuts. Your government is my enemy. The Khazarian elite banksters are my enemy. They represent everything reprehensible about human mankind. I would rather take the innocent mind of a Muslim who maybe doesn't know more than the ritual of bowing to the east 3, 4, 5 times a day than these manipulators that murder in mass numbers and call them holy wars. You talk about immigration, and you won't let the Mexicans cross your borders. They're too expensive for you to keep up. And yet, who hires them? And who are the farmers going to get to harvest the crops if you do not have them? Do you think Pete Wilson's going out there to harvest strawberries? Or pick onions? And they're going to change the immigration laws when hundreds of thousands of Jewish people were let in without so much as a piece of paper required of them. And what just happened in Iraq to the Kurds? They were not welcome in Turkey. I want to tell you, if you want to deal with some bad, bad boys, you try some of those old Turks. When they say the Turks are coming, man, I tell you, run. And yet the CIA sucked in this bunch of Kurds. And then what had to happen? You had to evacuate them. So while you're not going to let anybody immigrate, guess what you've done? The CIA sucked them in. You went up there with your airplanes and flew them to Guam, and that was their stopping place before integrating them into the United States of America as citizens. So don't give me freedom. Don't give me freedom. The stars and the stripes in your flag are sacred. It is a holy symbol. This is a blessed nation. I'd like to see it come into glory. It can go either way. But we don't have the privilege of not making allowances for survival. And therefore we will do it. We will do it. And I'm going to work with those ones who want to work with God. And so today, we're going to spend the rest of it listening to Mr. Farrakhan in Canada. And then we're going to get down on our knees and thank God for our brothers that are going to do as much as anything to save us from this incredible white death of these elite. And we're going to pray every minute of our waking days that they can realize their own potential so that it isn't just a bloody massacre. We're going to have to learn to live on this world as brothers, or we're going to perish as a species on this planet. And we better learn to hear God. And we better stop judging one another, because we need each other. Desperately, we need each other. So do you want to do this now and get at least one of these out before break? Or do you want to read a little bit from the writings? Did you mark some?
I did,
EJ.
Not.
You didn't?
Didn't even bring any. Forgot all about it.
Well, then that answers that. Let's try. Forget her trying to see. Okay. And I apologize always to you ones who come, especially for the first time. But this is what we are. We are a family, and we get down to business. We have to. And always we're welcome, or we're welcoming anyone who would like to be here. But they have to understand that that's what we are. We're not a little church groupie over here.
Thank you. In the name of Allah. Thank you. I love you too. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we give praise and thanks to Almighty God for all of His many wonderful blessings to the human family. We thank Him for His scriptures that He sent through His prophets. We thank Him for Moses and the Torah. We thank Him for Jesus and the Gospel. We thank Him for Muhammad and the Quran. Peace be upon these worthy servants of Allah. As a student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I am eternally grateful to Allah for His intervention in our affairs, raising up among us a divine leader, teacher, and guide, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I greet all of you, my dear and wonderful brothers and sisters of Toronto, with the greeting words of peace. In Hebrew to the Hebrews and to the members of the Jewish community who may be present,